That's very true. You roll like shit.
I do.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. I am Will, and with me today is a friend of mine from my local meta here, also Will.
Hello.
Hey, man. What's happening?
Not much. Early day.
Yeah, I know, right? We got up early today. So this might seem a little weird to those out there listening because you're like, where's
Will and
Greg?
Will?
Yeah, Will and Will. Yeah, the two Wills. But luckily, I think we sound distinctive enough to where it shouldn't be too much of a thing. But Greg is not here, and the reason why, and he's going to be taking a little bit of a sabbatical from the show for just a little while because, you know, life happens. So it's going to be me and someone at some point doing some things. So sometimes Will might come on. Sometimes we might have other people. We might bring back some guests we've had before. And yeah, so just
good times.
Yeah, be ready for all of that. So that is one of the changes to House Party Protocol. Another change that we're doing, and I think I mentioned this on the last episode, is that we're going to kind of cut the death battle scene a little bit. You know, we're just going to try to keep it a little more game focused.
A little more on topic.
A little more, I guess you could say. So what are we talking about today, Will? We are talking about tactics cards because we've kind of touched on them a little bit on this show, but we've never really dove in to tactic cards and their uses and stuff like that. So we're going to touch on those today, dive in, talk about some of our favorites, talk about some strategies surrounding tactics cards. We're also going to talk about some tactics discussion, so strategy discussion. And we don't really have a specific strategy that we're going to talk about today, but we're just going to kind of talk about some general crisis protocol strategy. The next thing we're going to do is an Ultimate Encounter deep dive. So a couple episodes ago, we talked about the actual Ultimate Encounter rules. Well, today, Will and I are going to dive deep into Ultron and All Will Be Metal. We're going to dive deep inside of him.
Very
super
exciting.
Deep. Super deep in that metal. All right? And it all will be metal. And then next, we're going to be talking about the Winter Soldier. Because that got spoiled just the other day. So, yeah.
To which I'm also super excited about. I can't wait till that comes out.
Very excited for Winter Soldier, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then, hopefully, if we have time, we're going to talk about our character rankings as what's released right now. We're going to talk about who we think is, you know, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, or we can call it S, A, B, C. I don't know. I don't care. We'll come up down on the fly because that's how we do it.
That's
here
how
on
we roll.
House Party Protocol. So anyways, Will.
Sir.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 1,000 years old. No.
You are Methuselah.
Basically. No, I literally almost grew up in a friendly local gaming store within bike riding distance. So I spent a lot of time there as a young adult and played everything from, you know, D&D to... It's been so long. It's not Mech Warrior. It wasn't, I mean...
Battletech.
Played a lot of Battletech back in the day.
Nice.
I was really into this game, Warzone. Probably no one remembers it out there.
I don't remember
I remember that one. But, yeah, and then, of course, I got away from it for a number of years with, you know, girls and jobs.
Those life? Things take you life. Mean just life?
Yeah. But luckily found an awesome wife and got back into the gaming stuff here year or so back and just been running with it ever since.
Awesome, dude. Awesome.
I'm loving the MCP. Guild Ball, also super into right now.
Yeah.
And trying to get back into the Batman when...
One of these days, right?
One of these days.
When there's time.
When there's time.
You know, this whole being 30 and having a life thing, it kind of interferes with your game time, right?
Ooh, it cuts in bad.
Yeah. But hey, look at it this way. You know, we're going to be starting up a Crisis Protocol League here soon. We got the Initiation League coming up. That's going to be awesome.
Meet this.
And yeah. So let's jump into our first topic today.
All right, let's do it.
So we're going to talk about tactics cards, all right? So generally, tactic cards, there's a few different requirements that you have to use them. First of all, most of them require some form of power, right?
Correct.
So you just look at the actual card. It tells you how much power. But others also say things like active and reactive, and they also have some affiliations listed on them. So, for instance, the one I have right here in front of me would be Seeing Red. At the top of it, it says unaffiliated, so any affiliation can use this card. And then underneath that, it says reactive. So reactive means that something has to happen, a trigger has to happen, and that trigger is in the text. And then you can use power, play the card. There you go. And they're one-time use, which is interesting, I think.
It is.
And then others of them say active, so that means on your turn, you can choose when to play them, provided you have the necessary resources. Then there's, you know, affiliated ones. Some of them, like Wakanda Forever, you have to be a Wakandan.
So Wakandans, the affiliation on the card, say you're running on a Wakandan team,
mm-hmm.
but you have Doc Ock on there. Can he use that card on his turn?
Nope. Nope, it has to be
a Wakandans
or Avengers. So, like, for instance, if I'm running an Avengers team and I've got Baron Zemo, I can't use Baron Zemo with Avengers Assemble because he doesn't have Avenger. And he's not an Avenger on the card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
Yeah. However, one interesting thing that's cool about that, so, like, you've got dual affiliation characters like Thor, who's coming out soon, and Black Panther, and they're both affiliated to Avengers. And then they also have their own affiliations, Wakanda in Black Panther's case.
So Asgard. They would count.
Exactly. So they could count on Avengers Assemble.
Right.
But they couldn't count. Like, if you have Black Panther in an Asgard team, he wouldn't be able to count for any Asgard-affiliated cards.
Gotcha.
Which I think is really interesting. And
it is.
And a nice, fun kind of play on how the characters all interact with one another.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So let me ask you, Will.
Okay.
Do you have a specific time that you feel like it's best to use a tactic card? Like, just a general rule?
Not really. They're very situational to me. I really personally like any of the ones that give me some health back. Patch up.
Yeah, I think that's
like
the
that.
Only one in the game right now, right?
It is, yeah.
Or there's that other one for the Avengers thing that removes the stun condition.
Right.
And gives you one health back.
That's right. That's right.
Second Wind is
Second
an example
wind.
Of one that heals, but it only removes one health. And hopefully we get more healing ones in the future, because I have found that that is probably one of the most pivotal things.
Very
is
powerful.
Being able to remove that damage.
Yes.
Because it's most characters' health pool, Hulk notwithstanding,
right.
is pretty low. And they don't have abilities to heal. Again,
right.
Venom notwithstanding. He can heal himself, but, you know, more or less, you know, ridding yourself of that damage is
huge.
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 Yep.
But as far as specific cards that I like to take, it's so situational to me. Because depending on the characters I take, I'm going to take probably at least two or three of the tactics cards that are specific to the characters I'm taking.
Right, so let's talk about that. So in terms of the rules, it says you have to have a roster. 10 characters, 8 tactics cards, 6 crisis cards, 3 of each type,
correct.
Right? So right now in the game available when this podcast is released, there are, I think, let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 extraction cards and 1, 2, 3, 4 secure cards right now in the game. So there's not too much
Not a
variety.
Whole lot to pick from, yeah. Hopefully that should get buffed up here.
Well,
as the release has come
As we
out.
Have seen,
right.
that is going to increase, you know, the Thor and Asgard spoiler that we've got.
Right.
Comes with some new crisis cards and new tactics cards. But when you're building your roster, let's not focus so much on the tactics cards.
I do actually just want to say real quick, the OCD part of me is a little not irritated, OCD about the fact that they're not releasing an even number of secure and extraction codes.
I know, it's driving me nuts, right? There should be one. There should be an even right
yes,
now.
Yes, right now, and when they release a new one, they're releasing like two packs, have one in each or something. I don't know. I need there to be an even number. That's me.
I feel you. It drives me a little bit nuts, too. So, anyways, with that being said, I lost my train of thought, but that's what we do here.
That's what we do.
So, with tactics cards, you have to have 8 of them on your roster. So, maybe this is part of our conversation that we can take up with the character rankings, but in general, do you have a core couple of cards that you would say are universal in a sense? In terms of what, and you don't have to go in, we don't have to go into what right. your roster would look like right now, but like a core couple of cards that no matter really what the makeup of the roster is, you're definitely taking.
The biggest one for me, I'm almost always taking patch up again, just because I want to be able to heal a little bit if I can.
Yeah.
Another one I've been taking a lot is brace for impact, and it's just because people like to throw me into things. It seems.
Yeah. Well,
and they always want to get that one extra damage to like daze or KO a character, and if I can negate that, that keeps me alive for one more round.
100% agree. I think strategic throws. And then a strategic playing of Brace for Impact
can actually make a difference.
Yeah, 100%.
Beyond that, those are probably the only two that I've brought into multiple games besides, like I said, the specific character-specific cards.
Yeah. So for me, my three that I pretty much always have, and I say pretty much because, again, it is situational and... Right now, when I play this game, admittedly, when we play and when we play with our friends, our group here, we don't have the roster requirement right now.
Right.
Now, we're going to be having a tournament in about a month, a little over a month from now, and we will require a roster. You know, it has to be on a piece of paper, like submit, like, this is your roster. This is what you're playing with. This is what you have access to.
Right now, we're just very casual.
But yeah, super casual because we all want to get familiar with the characters. We all want to play the characters we want to play and kind of get a sense for them. So to me, it's kind of limiting to just, hey, let's require you to have a roster right now. This is your roster. Boom. Here you go.
Right. We're just picking everything.
Right. Hey, play with whatever you want. So with that being said, the three cards, and it's three specifically that I'm right now starting off every... thought with. So like even if I'm not having a roster, I'm like, all right, I'm pulling these three cards out first and seeing if I can make them work.
Right.
One is patch up, like you said. And what is patch up, for those of you that don't know, that's the one that allows you to spend an allied character to spend up to 5 power to heal another character that amount equal to the power spent. So it's really good and it's unaffiliated.
Super powerful.
Super good.
I brought my Black Panther in the very last game, brought him back up to full health, and he just started wrecking again.
And that's what Black Panther does. So the next thing is Brace for Impact, like you said. And that's another one. And it's one power each.
It's so cheap.
So like if Hulk is throwing a size 3 Ultron at Black Panther... both of them are not going to take any damage because of Brace for Impact. Characters that spent power do not suffer damage from this collision. So that's 4 damage that's just gone.
Gone.
You know, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Super powerful.
Or if he's throwing a big building. Mm-hmm. If Hulk's throwing a size 4 building at someone and I've got Brace for Impact sitting there, boom, stopped it. And that's another thing I really love about this card is if my opponent has Brace for Impact sitting there, I want to bait that out with a lesser throw.
Right. So that you can throw a size 4 building.
So that I can later throw that size 4 building or size 3 truck, whatever, you know? So, like, that's something that I want to try to do is tease out that Brace for Impact. Because, realistically, if I throw something that's size 3 at you and you don't dodge any of it, right, then you have to make that decision. Like, you're going to take 4 damage and maybe die if you're Black Widow. Or Okoye. Maybe die. Or daze. Either one. Or if you're Black Panther, you're going to be on 2 health.
Right.
And maybe you've already activated.
Yeah.
You know?
You're going to go ahead and
use
that.
So you've
got
to use this at the right time. But then again, it's like, okay, well, now there's another car over here or another building over there that I'm going to wreck your face with. You know what I mean? So I think it's really strategic.
Right.
But you also have to take into account what your opponent has.
Agreed.
So the next one that I start, I've not taken this one, and it's Recalibration Matrix.
Yeah.
It is my favorite one because more often than not, so in my matches, you know this, uh-huh. I get that Hulk loaded up, right? I'm going to roll that like yep. 14 dice attack. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have so much fun. And then boom, nothing but blanks or blocks and like a couple of critical fails.
Yeah. And I still remember your 11 dice just complete whiff.
Yes, 11 dice whiff. And I didn't have Recalibration Matrix available because I had already used it.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, stuff like that happens in this game. It's a dice game. It's going to happen. Right. But like, so Recalibration Matrix, for me, I use it more when I'm attacking and I whiff an attack than when I'm defending. But there are those times
where you just need to defend it.
In a defense, it's like, oh man, like I want to survive. So here we go.
Right.
And it's 3 power, which is not insignificant.
No. There's been plenty of times I couldn't play it.
Right, and you're like,
or another card because I'm 1 or 2 power short, because I'm also the kind of, I just spend my power lot quickly.
I do too. But those 3 are the ones I generally start with.
Yeah.
And then some other ones that I love Recalibration Matrix. I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's also super demoralizing for your opponent.
Yeah, it is.
When your opponent rolls this crazy awesome roll, and it has like 3 or 4 crits, and then you're like, you're going to re-roll that.
Yeah.
And then they whiff it.
Uh-huh.
That's the best part of it. It's like, yeah, how about that whiff roll you just made there? But it's also risk-reward, because you can have, like, let's say your opponent rolls really great attack roll. And you roll a couple of blocks, but not enough blocks. Recalibration Matrix? Because maybe they mess it up? I don't know. But I think it's fun. It's fun.
It is
fun. It's really one of the things I like about it. So those are my 3 like big ones.
Go-tos.
And then I also really like 1-2 punch.
For your team, and that's another actually one of my problems is I personally tend to spread out more than I should.
Yeah.
In a lot of games. And
yeah. You do.
I do. It doesn't always work out for me. Well, the objectives are so spread out sometimes.
Oh, no. Well, that's the thing. You've got to play objectives.
You've got to play the objectives.
You know, I was playing a match against Cole the other day, and he didn't play objective, and that's what gave me the win.
Uh-huh.
Because he was so focused on taking out Captain America that, you know.
He left some things on the table.
Exactly. But
yeah, but this is a good card. When you can play close, that's a good 1-2 punch.
Right, and I really like it because it's also, it's again strategic, and only adding 2 dice doesn't sound like a lot.
But it can make a difference.
But it can really make a difference, and
unless I'm rolling, then I'm just going to roll blanks anyways.
Right, that's very true. You roll like shit.
I do.
But then, I also like that it's only 1 power each.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So some of these cards,
you can always play that, because you've almost always got 1 power on people.
Right, and even if you take a little damage, and then you can play, like, it's to me, it's just accessible.
Right.
Right? So some of these other cards, for instance, Follow Me is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful card. Follow Me says, it's unaffiliated, it's reactive. The active character may spend 6 power to play this card at the end of its activation. Choose another allied character within range 3 of the active character. The chosen character immediately activates. That's really powerful to do a back-to-back activation like that. But it's 6.
It's 6 power. That's a huge bank of power.
That's over half your power. And over half of your maximum power.
Every character has something that awesome they can do for 6 power.
Exactly. And usually you can do 1 awesome attack and then an awesome superpower for 6 power.
Yeah.
Shoot, if you give me 6 power on Zemo, you're screwed.
Right.
I'm going to charge you. I'm going to steel rush with that charge. And then I'm going to steel rush you again.
So, Zemo, for example, there's going to be very few times where you're going to use that card and pay 6 from Zemo, because Zemo could do some awesome stuff for 6.
Exactly. Captain America. Mm-hmm. If Captain America's got a bank of 6 power on him, I want him to have it so he can bodyguard and vibranium the shit out of it, or vibranium shield the shit everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, attack Captain America while he's got 6 power. Attack someone within range 2 of Captain America while he's got 6 power.
Right. You're not going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for you.
It's a super powerful card. I think it just costs a little too much to use.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's worth having in the roster, I think,
totally.
At times. Again, depending on your crisis card and all that. But, yeah, it's a little too too much for me.
It's too expensive. It needs to be brought down to 4, maybe 5, but yeah. It just needs to be brought down a little, I think.
Yeah.
Personally.
Exactly. So do you have any specific cars that, any other specific, I know you already talked about
right.
a couple, but
I can talk real quick
before you do yeah. that though, I want to tell anybody that's listening, we're not going to cover all the tactic cards, right? And listen, you guys out there might disagree with Will and I.
I mean, you'd be wrong, but...
Obviously. But no, you guys might disagree with us. And you know how you can let us know that is Facebook or email or any of those, or Discord is another good option. So Facebook is at House Party Protocol Pod. House Party Protocol Pod. Email is House Party protocolpod@gmail.com. That is a tongue twister.
That is a tongue twister.
So houseparty.protocolpod@gmail.com. And then also Discord, I'm at @HPP_Will. Greg is at @HPP_Greg. Will, are you on Discord? Do you even want to interact in that way?
Not really. I'll never use it.
So there you go.
You can find me on Facebook.
Yeah, but if you guys disagree with that, just let us know, because we love having that conversation with you guys. We've gotten some emails lately. Some people enjoyed our Henchman discussion. Some people let me know that I messed something up when I was on my own in the Vision episode. And you know what? That's fine. We make mistakes. There you go. So it was pointed out. And someone out there is probably like, well, what'd you mess up? And I'm like, I'm not going to pull up that message.
I was about to say, I kind of want to know what you messed up.
Well, I'll look it up here in a minute.
Yeah, that's
but
okay. That's okay.
That's
I just like when you mess up. It's fine.
Well, you know, I'm trying not to make a certain joke. So, because I heard that I was making too many of those.
Good for you.
So I'm not going to do it. All right. So anyways.
Well, I would like to talk about a couple of the tactic cards that I'm really digging right now.
Yeah, do it.
It's probably because I'm like really into the Wakandan affiliation right now. So two of them that I have been bringing a lot and I love. The first one's Wakanda Forever. First of all, I just want to say, look at the art on the card.
It's
awesome.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love this card, half just for the art. But the other half is, it is an active ability or an active tactics card. Any number of allied Wakandan characters may spend one power to play this card. So I love the cheap cost right off the bat. Each character that spent power may immediately perform an attack with zero power cost.
Yeah.
Now, I know that means a cost of zero, so it's like one of their free attacks.
Sure.
But still, it's a free attack for one power for as many Wakandan characters as you want.
It's a free attack for one power, but let's look at Black Panther's free attack. It's a strike with 5 dice that doesn't push. Killmonger, it's vibranium weapons for 5 dice that has a pierce, right? Shuri has a push, 6 dice.
Guaranteed push.
Okoye, her sucks.
But still, I've seen her do some good. She's actually,
she can
throw some damage out there. She, you know, sometimes. But
on a vibranium spear thrust. But
right.
Neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. But that's a great card. So basically, for 4 power, everybody gets an extra free attack. That's huge.
It is huge.
That's huge.
I'm with you. I think it's very good.
Another card I've really I think is awesome right now is Usurp the Throne. It is unaffiliated.
Usurp. I don't know. I say Usurp. America. What do you say?
You say usurp. I'm gonna say usurp just because I like the way it sounds. Usurp. I know that's
because you
want
to be a bougie.
I do.
Ass.
I'm just an asshole. So it is unaffiliated. It's an active tactics card. You play it on your turn. Killmonger may spend 3 power. So again, I like the 3 power because I can almost always get that off. This round, Killmonger adds 2 dice to his attack roll, but. Also, only when he's attacking the enemy character with the highest threat value. So it's very specific.
Yeah.
In fact, if someone sees you have this card, they may see it coming, but still it's awesome. So attacking the highest threat character, if Killmonger dazes or KOs that character this round, you gain 2 victory points.
Mm-hmm. 2 victory points is valuable.
Valuable.
Very valuable.
And Killmonger's gonna daze somebody in this game, most likely.
Yeah.
So... If you play it right, that's just 2 free victory points. That's huge.
Yeah, if you play it right. But a lot of times in my games, I've noticed that so highest threat character tends to be Hulk, MODOK, something like that. Like, I haven't played a match in a while where the highest threat character was Captain America or Captain Marvel or something, a 4 threat character.
Right.
It makes a lot more sense against a 4 threat character to me than it does against... a Hulk, but if you play it right and you've got Hulk kind of
on
down and he's not murdered your whole team,
right?
Then it's useful. And also, I think when you layer in the other things that Killmonger does, so for instance, if you play Usurp the Throne and then you play Focus on the Kill, so then he'll get extra two dice on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already attacked that right. character. So it can add up. I see it. It's not my favorite. Right. What else you got?
The last one I have that is I've been bringing a lot is Mission Objective.
Purple. Oh, yes.
Also, I think the art on this card is cool.
I do like that one a lot.
But this one's awesome. Just because this game is so based around objectives, and I've actually only played one game where it came down to a kill game. But that was just really because we both said, hey, let's just go kill each other. it is an active ability. It's unaffiliated. An active character holding an asset or civilian token may spend 2 power to play this card. This part is reactive. When an allied character holding an asset or civilian token would drop it, they can spend 2 to play this card. You can place the asset or civilian token held by that character onto another allied character within 2.
That's pretty good.
That is awesome. Since there's no other way to hand off objectives or mm-hmm. things like that, again, very situational. You're almost planning to, bring in the card to...
Well, it's just, look, if I've got Black Widow out there and she's got an objective, she's holding an objective and trying to move around the board, if she's looking like somebody's trying to focus her down, well, then I'm going to try to get Captain America next to her for a couple of bodyguards of vibranium shields. Then if she's going down, boom, my mission objective.
And just move the
cosmic cube fragment or spider infected or whatever.
I hate not only getting dazed, the dropping whatever I'm holding, and then someone just comes and picks it up. And I'm like, well, dang, it's going to be really hard to get it back.
Exactly.
Really hard to get it back.
It's really hard to get it back. Yeah. So were those the only 2 other ones that you wanted to talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, those are the ones that I'm excited about.
I got you. Okay, so I've got a few more,
yeah.
and then we will move on because we've got a lot more to talk about in this episode. And I think that this tactics card discussion maybe covers our tactical talk for today, maybe.
We've also thrown a lot of tactics stuff in there.
Yeah, so let's talk about 3 more of, I think, the 3 other ones that are very powerful, and that would be Dark Reign.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know, Dark Reign is a Cabal-affiliated tactic card, and it's active. Any Cabal character may spend 3 power to play this card. Choose an enemy character. Allied Cabal characters may re-roll any number of attack dice when attacking the chosen character this round.
It's like a focus fire card.
It's insanity,
yeah.
I think. So you have to be Cabal. So if you're playing Red Skull as a Cabal affiliation, you're playing Cabal mm-hmm. affiliation with Red Skull, and if you have Captain America in that list for whatever reason, which it's fine,
you can
do that, but if you have Captain America in that list, he will not benefit from this.
Right.
Also, another one that won't benefit is Doc Ock. Let's not forget, he is not a Cabal member.
He's not a Cabal member.
Mm-hmm. So you got to think about that when you play this card.
Yeah, I forget about that.
It's only for Cabals, and if you're going to play this, you got to play it early in the round.
Yeah.
Like, don't...
Well, it only makes sense to play it literally almost the first turn.
First thing to do. Boom. Who's got 3 power? Red mm-hmm. Skull does. Dark Reign. And with this, though, it really puts a Hulk in danger.
Yeah.
So if you activate a Hulk early...
Don't activate Hulk
sitting
early.
There, yeah. Strategy talk for today.
Don't activate Hulk early.
Unless, for instance, the only time I ever activate Hulk early is when I've got the alien ship crashes downtown and I can go get the Kree power core mm-hmm. and put it on Hulk.
Right. Because no one is not coming off Hulk.
But that's still risk reward right. because if I flub the dice, that's then true. I don't get it. Same thing with Skrull Infiltrators.
Mm-hmm.
If I get that Skrull Infiltrator and I can put it on Hulk, I'm in business.
Right.
But
you also are, again, activating him early, putting him out there. You're almost baiting someone to...
Oh, yeah.
Focus fire. And if you have this Cabal, what's it called?
Dark Reign.
I mean, you might be in for some hurt on the Hulk.
It's dangerous. But with all that being said, I think that's a strategy in it. But mm-hmm. If I'm playing Hulk, unless I'm very specifically tactical decision to activate him early to go get an objective, to hope that he can hold it for the entire round, or to hope that I can get Captain America next to him for some bodyguard vibranium shield action, mm-hmm. it's the only time I'm mm-hmm. activating Hulk early. Otherwise, strategy talk for today. Activate Hulk later in the round.
Mm-hmm.
Not last, but not necessarily first.
Right. Definitely not first.
But, yeah, so Dark Reign, great card. it can really allow you to focus down a specific character. So that's one that I really like when I'm playing Cabal. Another one I really like is Cabal Cosmic Invigoration.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's a must. It's a must.
Right. If you're playing Cabal,
you're taking
that card.
You're
probably going to take Cosmic Invigoration. You might not use it. You really might not. But it costs Red Skull 2 power to play this card. So it says, it's a Cabal card. It's active. If Red Skull's within range 2 of another allied character with an activated token, they may spend 2 power each to play this card. So 4 power total, but 2 power each to play this card. Remove the activated token from the allied character. Roll 3 dice. For each crit, wild, and hit rolled, that character suffers 1 damage. So the likelihood of damage is there, but it had to spike.
Probably
in
only
going to
take 1,
right,
maybe 2.
3 damage at most, which is not good.
No.
But a Black Panther, he has 6 health.
He can take it.
He can handle that. And to get an extra activation out of Black Panther, shoot.
Yeah, I'll take that any day.
So this brings up the discussion between this and Follow Me. Cosmic Invigoration, even though it can do damage, I think is a better card than Follow Me because it costs less power.
Yeah.
And again, damage is tough, but I have patch up. Maybe I can heal that immediately.
And it's all a dice roll. You may take nothing.
Right. It's a dice roll.
It's a gamble.
I'll take the dice roll.
And the way
two
I roll,
power per
so.
Character. Right, yeah. Well, no, you would roll 3 damage.
Oh yeah. That's true. It would swing in the other direction for that. Right.
So, I'll, you know, personally though, that's like I'm going to take
It's still not a bad trade-off.
Yeah, I like Cosmic Invigoration a lot because it's like I said, it allows an extra activation and the penalty is not so grand.
Right.
The next card that I like, and again, I have yet to get this off in a game. Yet to get it off. But I love the card.
Yeah.
Is the Age of Ultron.
Oh yeah.
So again,
well, that's just a deterrent card.
It's a deterrent,
really.
Right.
I mean, I've never actually used and played that card either.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that card sitting out on your table, I mean, most people are going to see it and go like, "Well, I'm just going to ignore Ultron."
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You can power him up, and then boom.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean? Here he is, back to life, just like that.
It's an insurance card.
Yeah, and it's Age of Ultron. I'm not going to read the whole text. But Ultron can KO'd Ultron can spend 8 power, and then he's back to life on his healthy side, full health. And within range 3 of his current location,
right.
So he teleported somewhere.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a great
It costs
card.
A lot. 8 power is nothing to...
Oh, know. 8 power is a lot.
8 power is almost your entire bank, but... I mean, to come back healthy...
Yes.
It's insane.
It's insane. And it is a deterrent.
Yeah.
So, the last couple I'm going to talk about, just touch on these real quick. I know a lot of people really like Disarm and Trip Up. Those are two cards that mess with the dice pools of
your opponent.
Disarm specifically, it takes away 2 dice whenever someone attacks for 1 power each, which is nice.
Yeah.
And then Trip Up is if you're within range 2 of another character, another allied character, you can each spend 1 power. And then if you get damaged, you suffer stun and stagger. So it's very good.
That's like, very powerful.
Being able to stun and stagger someone
is huge.
Is very good, but they have to take damage from an attack on Trip Up. So that one is, you know.
You need to bring a heavy hitter in to use that to definitely get it off.
If Hulk is in my opponent's roster, I want this.
Yeah.
Which I think in most rosters right now, most, Hulk is in there.
Yeah.
So I would want this to go against a Hulk. Another one I like, and it's interesting, is AIM Lackeys. It's only when you have to have MODOK. MODOK may spend 3 power to play this card. Choose another allied character. That character may perform a move action as an additional action during its next activation this round.
Powerful.
Extra movement in this game is huge. Love it. And then the last one, it's from the Shuri and Okoye pack. It's advanced R&D. It's unaffiliated. It's active. It's costly. Spend 5 power.
It is.
And then choose a number of allied characters equal to the power spent. Each of those characters gains 1 power.
I mean,
that can be clutch.
Yeah, it can be.
That can be
moving
clutch.
Moving power around is great.
Mm-hmm. And with Shuri, in my experience so far, she's not too power hungry.
No.
So I can,
I do most of my work just using her to push models
yep.
and then basically give my other people rerolls.
Yep.
I mean, it's great.
That's it.
She's
I love
fantastic.
It.
I love her.
This cat, I told you.
Would come up and decide to take a shit and look at us while he's doing it.
Yep. Oh, he hasn't started yet, but he's thinking about it.
He's getting there.
He's thinking about it. So anyways, that concludes, I think, our tactics card discussion.
And a very good discussion it was.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. So Yeah, there's a lot of tactic cards that we didn't talk about. There's a lot of things you can do with tactic cards that we didn't necessarily talk about. This is a conversation that will come up again
it's
on this podcast.
It's ongoing because there's just so many things, situational and always more tactic cards
that are going to come out. And it's 100% situational. You know, it all depends. That's one thing I love about this game is just there's no universal this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can sit here and say all day that activating Hulk late in a round is what I want to do, but that doesn't mean it's a universal thing.
Right.
There are situations where activating a Hulk early is a good idea. For instance, if he's sitting on 3 health left,
right,
I want to activate him early so I can Absolutely. Wreck somebody.
So I can at least do something with him before he dies.
Exactly. So so it's, you know,
always
it's all situational. And that situation is always changing because of the nature of this game.
Right.
You know, there's no one overwhelming strategy. But speaking of strategies, I did look up what it was that I messed up in the individual episode. And I messed it up in the sense that I didn't cover the whole rule, but the spirit of the rule is what I think I was going for there. And that was when I like to throw characters and destroy terrain before they potentially get to use it. For instance, before a Hulk gets to use it. But in order for that terrain to be destroyed, it has to be of a smaller size than the character being thrown.
Right.
So for instance, if there's a car and it's size 2 and I have to throw an Ultron
right.
or something
you can't
something
throw a Black
bigger,
Widow into yeah. it.
Black Widow's not going to destroy it.
Bounce off the
it's
car.
It's going to sit right there.
Yeah.
So anyways, moving on to our talk about this ultimate encounter.
Ultimate encounter.
So I'm skipping over, quote unquote, our tactics strategy discussion because I feel like we covered
it. We kind of got it in
we
there.
We covered that.
Yeah.
I think. If you feel like that we didn't cover it, dear listener, dear suit.
You'd be wrong.
You'd be wrong, first of all. Second of all, let us know. Again, email address we talked about earlier. I'll put it at the end too. So there you go. All right. Ultimate encounter. The ultimate encounter of All Will Be Metal. So if you didn't catch our coverage on the ultimate encounter before, where we talked about it in, what was it? I don't remember what episode it was, but we talked about it before.
3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, 3 or 4 episodes ago. Just go back, listen to that. You know, we go over the actual rules of what an ultimate encounter is. But today, we're going to talk about specifically the ultimate encounter, All Will Be Metal.
I love the name of it.
It is a good one. It's a good one. I got to say, I enjoy it as well. So this one, me, Will, and not me, Will. me, or Will, here with me.
I knew this was going to get confusing at some point.
It's weird. So we're doing it. Yes.
It's happening.
Myself, the Will that's on the other end of this mic, of the other mic, whatever, sitting
this one
across
here.
From me.
Hi.
Yes. And our friend Andrew, we played this right after it came out, and we haven't actually had a chance to play it again. But
right, we will.
It's going to happen.
It's totally going to happen. So I want to be Ultron next time. Just throwing that out there.
It's fine with me, dude. We're going to wreck you.
All right. Probably.
So we played this, and I got to say, it was really fun.
It was really fun.
I played Ultron, and Will and Andrew tried to usurp me.
I went Avengers affiliation. He went Cabal.
Yep.
Andrew went Cabal.
It was really a lot of fun. And,
it was.
And it created like a fun little puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of put together for me as the Ultron player, and for you guys, it was
as
just kind
how
of
how to slow you down,
slow it down, right? So, with this encounter, All Will Be Metal, you have terrified citizens that you can save, that the heroes and Cabal, but they are heroes, the Crisis Team,
right? Crisis.
That's the thing. They're the Crisis Team.
Yes,
the whole you and Andrew were that they can try to save.
Mm-hmm.
And score victory points along the way through that, while I'm trying to kill those citizens and also activate my Doomsday device.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty fun. And it's really interesting. So this one here has a difficulty table listed out there, and we played it on tutorial mode.
Yes.
Or no, we played it on normal mode because you
That's
guys
right.
had all the tactic cards.
Yeah.
So there's 4 different difficulties: tutorial, normal, hard, and insane. So the differences between those are pretty interesting.
They are.
Going from easiest to hardest, the Crisis Team gets to bring tactics cards based on that. So tutorial mode, you don't bring any tactics cards because it's pretty easy already.
Right.
Normal, 3 tactics cards. Hard, 2 tactic cards. Insane, you only get 1 tactic card For the team.
For the team. Not each.
It's for the team.
For the team.
That's nuts.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I think the worst part of it, honestly, though,
well,
is...
Well, I'm sorry. No, and it's one per squad. I'm sorry.
It is one per squad?
It is one per squad, yeah. So, yeah, a crisis team squad chooses a number of team tactic cards based on the difficulty level.
Okay.
So, yeah, the crisis team and then the crisis team squad are two different things.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's each character, each squad gets to bring the list of tactics here. Okay. But what really makes it difficult...
Yes.
What really makes it difficult... Okay, so you have less tactic cards, the harder you get.
Kind of stinks, but you can work around that.
What really messes this up is... Ultron's Doomsday device gets harder as well. So, on tutorial mode...
Much harder.
He rolls two dice on his Doomsday device. Normal, three dice. Hard, four dice. Insane, five dice.
Yeah, that's just bringing the pain.
It's bringing the pain. So, what is the Doomsday device, you ask? Well, let's talk about that. So, around the board, Ultron has these Doomsday consoles that he is trying to control. If at any point he gets all four of them, he wins the game.
Just done.
Just game over, Ultron wins. If he has all four of them simultaneously. And you think, oh, well, that's probably hard to do.
Not that hard.
Hard, but there's a very real way that he can get all four of them, especially in the later rounds as the game goes on. So... he's trying to activate his Doomsday devices, right? So he's got his Doomsday device, and what that Doomsday device does...
Yeah, go over that. That's insane.
Yeah, so every turn, Ultron, Master of Metal, has assembled a mighty Doomsday device to destroy the city. At the start of each of the Cosmic Threat player's turns, they roll dice equal to the number specified by the difficulty level. Mm-hmm. So normal, it's three dice, right?
Yes.
Yes, I said three. Yep, three dice. Whew, just wanted to make sure. I want to make sure I get it right.
Don't want more emails.
Now then, here is where it gets interesting. You add one die to its roll for each Doomsday console that they are controlling.
Ouch.
So if Ultron has control of three out of the four Doomsday consoles, he's rolling six dice on this Doomsday device table. I will go over the table in a second. I consult the list, the table, for the effects, but I can only resolve each effect once. So let's say I roll three blanks.
It's really just one blank
result. Right. It's really just one blank result, you know.
Right.
So that's a way to keep it from getting super out of hand, as you'll see in just a second.
If it was three whatevers, it's just going
to
get insane.
And then another important thing about this Doomsday device is the effects are resolved in the order they appear on the list.
Important. So, very important.
It is important. So, what is the Doomsday device list? Well, first of all, if I roll a blank or a skull crit fail, Ultron has secondary power reserves. Ultron, Master of Metal, gains three power. Additionally, if the Cosmic Threat player is not controlling any Doomsday consoles... choose a Doomsday console. The Cosmic Threat player is now controlling it. So I just, boom, one of my victory conditions. Just like that, right there. It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome, but like you said, later especially, it can get very hairy.
Right, but it's only if I'm not controlling any. So it kind of actually behooves the Crisis team me have one at all times. I say me as if I am just the embodiment of Ultron right here. I am an evil machine, what can I say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get to know him.
So it's risk reward. Do you let Ultron have one console so he doesn't
get
that automatically on the start of a round? Right? So then there you go. The next one is blocks. It's called One Path to Peace. Remove all terrified citizen tokens from the battlefield. The Cosmic Threat player scores one victory point for each citizen removed this way. So what are terrified citizen tokens? Well, the Crisis team gets to search terrain to find citizens, and there's a mechanic involved in how they do that. They roll some dice. If it's a certain result, there's a citizen, they find it, and it's just like picking up another... Yeah, it's just like picking up an asset token, cosmic cube fragment, anything like that. They put it on their card, boom, they've got it, right? But what the Crisis team has to do is evacuate that citizen. So there's a little token in the middle of the board called home base, and if they can get the citizen to home base, they get victory points.
Yeah,
score points. So that is the importance of the the
civilian tokens.
Yeah, citizen tokens. So it says that if any citizen tokens are on the ground, then I get to remove them. Well, how do I get them on the ground? Well, I have, as Ultron, have abilities to do that. One of them is coming up. So if I roll hits on this table, on this list, horrifying scraping sound. That was pretty bad. That was pretty hard.
Just imagine nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Each crisis team... No, it's horrifying like the cat scratching before he takes a poop.
Right.
There you go.
That's pretty horrifying. That's pretty scratching.
Horrifying. So, horrifying scraping sound. Crisis team characters drop all objective tokens they are holding. If no crisis team characters are holding objective tokens, treat this result as a devastating barrage, which we will talk about shortly, but...
There's no way it's not bad.
There's no way it's not bad. Now, this is what we talked about earlier when we were talking about the order of these is important.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do them in order. Because
if you did them out of order, you could literally make the players drop their tokens and then immediately score the points from them being dropped.
Exactly, which would be awesome but terrible for the players.
It'd be broken.
So the next thing we have is a wild result, which is a better age. The cosmic threat player chooses a terrain feature with an evacuated token on it. An evacuated token is only there to denote that that building has been searched.
Correct.
So that the crisis team player can't spam searching the same building over and over again.
Right.
That's all it is. So choose a terrain feature with an evacuated token on it. If there are no evacuated tokens on terrain features, you can choose any terrain feature. So if the cosmic or the crisis team hasn't searched any buildings, I get to pick whatever terrain feature I want. The crisis team places a terrified citizen token within range one of the chosen terrain feature. So if it's a pretty big building, you can place it anywhere around there, which gives a lot of flexibility to the crisis team. Then the terrain feature is destroyed and removed from the battlefield. Ultron, Master of Metal, gains power equal to the size of the terrain feature. So hey, crisis team, that size 3 building that you just searched and didn't find anybody at, guess what?
4 power.
3 power. Because I gained power equal to the size of the terrain.
Oh, equal to the size. Okay.
So right. 3 Still. Power. Yes, no, 3 power. Just like, boom, just boom. Like that. Got it. Thank you. And that terrain feature's gone, so you don't get to mess with it in future rounds.
Right.
Booyah.
So good.
So awesome.
Good for Ultron.
So much fun.
And just to step back for a second, so you're rolling, you end up rolling 5, 6, 7, 8 dice, depending on how many consoles you're controlling. You're going to hit probably most of these.
I mean, right. Like, it's reasonable.
It's reasonable.
It's reasonable.
To expect.
To expect.
Uh-huh. And
right?
You were.
Yeah. And, yeah, so the only, I guess, silver lining to it is, yeah, okay, you get a citizen token out of it.
Right.
But good luck scoring.
You're right.
So the last and final option is the crit result. And it's devastating barrage. The cosmic threat player chooses 3 crisis team characters within range 3 of the home base token, which is right in the middle of the board. The chosen characters suffer 1 damage and gain 1 power. Not too devastating?
Not, considering it's the crit result.
Right. But useful.
Yeah.
But useful.
Because you're going to have at least 3 characters within range 3 of the home base. It's right in the middle. You're trying, as the crisis team, you're trying to go there anyways.
Exactly.
It's basically just giving out some free damage.
Exactly. And as we've said on this podcast before and in general, 1 damage can make a difference.
It can.
You know, it can
make a
difference.
When your character only has a health pool of 5 or 6,
yeah,
1 damage
or is... Or Black Widow with her 4.
With her 4.
I mean, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
So, devastating barrage, but what I think is interesting is, with horrifying scraping sound, if no citizen tokens are dropped, then this result gets to be a devastating barrage, and then I could potentially have an additional devastating barrage.
Right.
So I think that's pretty nice.
That is pretty nice.
At least that's how I read it.
I'm saying that's right.
Yeah. So, that is Ultron's gig.
Well, let's say, so there's a couple ways for the crisis team to win. One is, of course, you know, scoring enough points to by extracting civilians.
So that's what I was going to cover next, okay, is ending the encounter. Do you want to go over that?
So, of course, one way to win is for just the crisis team to score enough points by extracting civilians and winning that way. I believe it's still 16? 12. 12. It's 12 points.
Yes.
So that's better. But the other way is to literally defeat KO Ultron, which... It's possible, But as I think I learned from just a couple, you know, even the first round or two, you have to pick one or the other as the Crisis team. You're either going to go for taking out Ultron and KOing him, or you're going to play the objectives.
Yeah,
one or the other. You cannot do both.
That's what y'all did well in that match against me. Y'all ended up winning for
right.
the record. You know, I
barely.
Actually lost a match, which was frustrating.
Never happens right now.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I actually do. I think one of the things I like about this game is
it's fun to lose.
You can lose and not feel bad about
right.
it.
Right.
So y'all beat me because at first you thought we maybe could... going with the kill, but then it became very apparent that the
apparent.
Victory points and. Because I set the terrain up in the most dumb way possible. I put a size 3 terrain right next
right.
to home base.
Uh-huh. So we literally just kind of kept on going back to it.
Right.
And
I couldn't get it destroyed
uh-huh.
because I was only rolling a couple of dice and it wasn't hitting.
We
should have been playing on insane mode.
Yeah.
We should have been playing insane.
Well,
and maybe I'll win.
But that was also your bad for the placement of that
It was.
Building,
it was terrible. It was terrible.
It worked out for us.
Yeah. But either way, yeah. So Crisis Team wins by only scoring 12 victory points. And
right.
how much is a citizen token?
So, yeah, extracting a terrified citizen is one victory point at the home
okay.
base.
Yeah, so, and then if you play the game with the appropriate amount of terrain, which is 12 to 14 pieces per the rule book,
right.
you've got a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. You're not going to run out of.
Right, but you're also not going to win it immediately.
Correct.
Which is nice. So,
yeah.
Y'all ended up winning.
And what was it? We decided that we were just going to play straight objectives because we started to try to kind of attack Ultron, but realized very quickly, one, it's just hard to daze him. But the fact that he also... In a normal game, if you daze someone, they don't get that activation. They come back the next round. That's not the case with Ultron.
Yeah, so we're going to go over Ultron's card here. And just to put a button on the... actual encounter itself.
Right.
The way Ultron wins is through two different ways. Pathetic plans. If the cosmic threat player has 12 or more victory points at any time, they have crushed
yes.
the Crisis team's will and destroy the city. I love that flavor
yeah,
text.
Right? That's
it's
good.
Just, they have crushed the Crisis team's will. Like, yes. Literally, in that case, it would have been you, Will.
Right.
You
would have
been
crushed.
Yes. So I earn victory points as the cosmic threat player. I would earn victory points for each doomsday console that I'm controlling during the cleanup phase. Or I have instinction imperative. If at any point Ultron controls all four doomsday consoles, the machine immediately becomes fully operational. And there you go.
Yep.
I score one victory point each time an enemy character's KO'd specifically. I score one victory point for when I remove a terrified citizen from the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
How does the cosmic threat player remove a terrified citizen from the battlefield? I just interact with it if it's on the ground.
Right.
It's removed.
Because you're just going and choking
right.
out a little civilian.
It.
Right.
So I said that the consoles are the only way. I didn't mean it in that regard. Like,
there are
so
other ways for you to
at
score
the end
points.
Of the round,
right.
The
but
only
they're
way
your
I
most.
Is the
what's the word I'm looking for?
Consistent.
Consistent. They're the most yeah. consistent form of Ultron gaining victory points.
Exactly. So.
Plus, he's also trying to control all four of them just for that. That win state right there.
Exactly. So then let's talk about Ultron's card.
Yeah.
He gets a special character card as part of this ultimate encounter. It's called Ultron, Master of Metal.
And it's a great looking card, too.
It's a really awesome art on the card. But I also like how he still has an alter ego called Ultron.
Right.
So it's like, I guess if he was...
Did he put on glasses and then he's like...
I mean, I guess so. It's yeah, he removes his glasses. You know, Clark Kent doesn't... is outed as Superman
I
now.
I know.
Ridiculous. What is Brian Michael Bendis?
I don't know. I love Bendis.
Yeah.
Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
It's actually, honestly, this is the... I know we're sidetracking hard here, but it's the first Superman story arc in a long time that I'm kind of interested in reading.
Yeah, anyways, moving on.
Good, moving on.
Ultron, Master of Metal. And here goes the cat, ladies and gentlemen.
And looking
goes.
Right at you.
Mm-hmm. Staring into my soul.
That's a power move.
Power move. So... Ultron, he has 8 stamina, he moves medium, he is size 3, his threat value is 30, so you can't use him in the regular game.
Oh.
His physical defense is 5.
Powerful.
Yes. His energy defense is 4, and his mystic or mental defense is also 5. And then he has a special rule underneath this that is an innate ability called encounter character, flight, he has immunity... to bleed, poison, stagger, and stun.
Everything.
So he has immunity to all the stuff that you would normally want
right.
to put on him. So yay!
Slowing him down is not an easy thing.
No. All right, Will, so what do we have for attacks on the Master of Metal?
Master of Metal. First of all, it's just an awesome name. So his first normal attack is Metallic Talons. It's a physical attack, zero cost, range 2, with a dice pool of 6. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt, which pretty standard, but good. He does have 2 wilds on here, Bleed and Pierce. Bleed is after this attack is resolved, character gains the bleed special condition.
Which
standard.
Means after a character activates, then they suffer 1 damage.
1 damage. Always good. And a wild Pierce, which I love Pierce. Change one of the defending characters' wild crits or hits to a
blocks.
Blank. Oh, blocks to a blank.
Yep.
Fantastic.
That's very good, yeah. And each of those, so just rolling 1 wild gets him access to both of those. Very good.
Very good. Very good. All right, so his next attack is Energy Blast. It is, of course, an energy attack. Range 4.
It'd be funny if it was a physical attack, but call it Energy
Blast. That actually would be. Energy Blast is a range 4, which is great. Dice pool of 7, which I love. And an energy cost of only 2, which I will do a 2-cost 7 dice attack all day long.
It's money in the bank.
It's money in the bank. After this attack is resolved, this character gains 1 power. This attack rolls 1 less die for each corrupted firmware token on this character.
Right, and we'll talk about what corrupted firmware is in just a minute.
Yes. His next attack is an energy attack. It's called the Rage of Ultron. It is his
Rage!
Big attack. It is an area attack, which is awesome. Throw him in the middle of some people and just rage out.
Yeah, but it's A1.
A1. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm. But keep reading.
But keep reading. I'll go keep reading. It's a attack pool dice of 9.
Ooh.
You basically need the extra dice pack.
For real.
But it is a power cost of 6. Mm. If this attack deals damage, after this attack is resolved, push the character short. Nice.
The target character
short. The target character short.
And so for those of you that might not know and aren't as familiar with some of the rules, an area attack is much like a beam attack. So for each character affected, they each get their own die roll. So like, let's say in some amazing, awesome world, you hit 6 characters. That's 6 individual 9 dice rolls.
Yes.
So 6 individual pushes if the attack does damage.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome.
Which is pretty awesome. And the last piece of this rule is, if this character has 3 or more corruption firmware tokens, increase the range of this to area size 2.
Yeah, so that's everything from Ultron's base in an area around it, range 2.
Right, which just makes, and we'll talk about this more in depth in a little bit, but basically it makes going for the takeout of Ultron even more dangerous.
Right, so it's an interesting risk-reward there because Energy Blast gets worse with damage to Ultron. The Rage of Ultron, because rage!
He's more rage-filled.
He gets better.
Yeah.
So that's his attacks. I didn't ask you this when I read out his stat line, but I'll ask you for his stat line and for this, what stands out to you on that?
Really, that he's powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, he's across the board good defense, immune to all of the things he's immune to, plus his attacks are powerful. He's just a mean man in this encounter.
And he's the only model you get in this encounter. There are rules for, quote, minions, but there are other superheroes, not henchmen. We're not having that discussion again. If you want to go back and listen to a couple episodes, we had that one once already.
Yeah.
But he's the only model, so he should be powerful.
He should be.
And
he is.
He is. But 8 health, it's not a lot. It's not.
It doesn't sound like a lot.
But what makes this impossible, I think, is 5 defense on physical and mystic.
Yeah.
So even MODOK, like,
is going to have a hard time.
Right. You think, oh, MODOK's a really good character. Well, he does a mystic attack and a physical attack.
Both got defense 5.
And you think, well, defense is worse than attacks. Yes, it is. But generally, the more dice you roll,
is the better you're
the better
off
you on. Better your chances.
And while it may sound like 8 health, like, oh, he's going to drop like a sack of potatoes, you have to kill him so many times.
Right. Like, Hulk could get there.
Right.
Could get there. Right?
Right.
But it has to be a pretty damaged Hulk.
Uh-huh.
And Hulk's best attack is Hulk Smash, and that does a stagger on a wild.
Right.
But
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Because he's immune to stagger. So
rough.
Yeah. And for his attacks, to me, what stands out, really the standout, is Energy Blast.
Yeah.
Because if you super choose long range to not go after Ultron from a damage perspective, it's long range, and I can sit there and roll seven dice pretty much all day.
You can't stay away from him far enough that he's not going to at least be able to hit you with that.
Right, and on my Doomsday device roll, I've got two different ways I can get power.
Right.
Three power, or more. You know, depends.
So even if you're not attacking him to power him up, he's still got power. He's still going
to
do stuff.
Right, he's still going to have power. So, I mean, to me, Energy Blast is
the real kicker.
That's the one. So let's go over his superpowers now. Okay. I mean, did you have anything else to say about the attacks?
No, yeah. That's
so his superpowers, he's got some very interesting ones.
He does.
So his first superpower is an active superpower called Matter Transference. It costs 2 power. Place this character within range 2 of its current position. This superpower can be used only once per turn. So I used this to great effect.
Yeah.
And we'll get in depth in that in just a second after I read all these, because there's a few of them.
Yeah.
His next superpower is called, it's reactive, and it's called Enough! It's 2 power. Increase the cost of this superpower by 1 for each corrupted firmware token on this character. After an attack that damaged this character is resolved, you may use this superpower. Throw the attacking character short.
So you're also only going to get 1 attack off on him.
No range. So no range on it.
I didn't even think about that.
So after an attack that damage this character is resolved, I can throw you. So if you're Captain Marvel and you're range 4 away, I get to throw you.
You can still throw me. That's crazy.
I love that. That's great. It's so
awesome.
That's
great.
Okay, it's a short throw, but that cover that you're hiding behind?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. So the next superpower he has is a reactive power, the Folly of Man. It's also power cost of 2. Before rolling attack dice, you may use this superpower. During this attack, this character adds blanks in its attack rolls to its total successes.
I love it.
So, again, Energy Blast, to me,
Folly of Man. Four power.
7 dice, blanks count.
I mean, you're looking at least 5 hits right there.
I mean, I don't know the math.
I'm going to say the math
is
5 hits.
But it sounds good.
Right?
It sounds good. So his last superpower is an innate ability, We Are Ultron. When Ultron, Master of Metal, would gain a dazed token, if he has 4 or less corrupted firmware tokens, he instead removes all damage and special conditions from himself and gains a corrupted firmware token. Place him within range 3 of his current position or within range 1 of a Doomsday console that is controlled by the Cosmic Threat player. Otherwise, Ultron, Master of Metal, is KO'd and removed from the table. So that's a lot of rules text, texty text.
It's more simple than it sounds.
It is. So essentially, you have to take out Ultron 5 times.
5 times.
So like it says, if he has 4 or less corrupted firmware tokens, he takes them all away and is back at 8 health.
Right.
And he teleports to range 3.
Uh-huh.
To a console he
which
controls.
Could be across the board.
Could be across the board. So,
even if you can manage to daze him, gotta do it 5 times.
5 times.
5 times, which is not easy with his
8 health.
8 health.
All that defense.
And all that defense. And if you do end up managing to daze him, he just flies over to the other side of the board. You gotta go get him again.
Right. And
it's
that's
rough.
What you said earlier, I think, is really true in this.
We need to play this again. Yeah.
And just try to see what it's like to just focus fire on Ultron, because I feel like
it's possible.
It's doable.
In my mind, playing it the one time, we were like, we have to make a call round 1 what we're going to do.
Yep, cat number two. Literally and figuratively.
And smellily. Smellily.
And smellily. So corrupted firmware tokens are what
his
replaces the dazed token, right. But he just collects them, essentially.
Yeah.
And
which, again, power up some of his abilities.
Exactly. So that is Ultron, the Master of Metal.
In a nutshell. Can I actually go on a quick side tangent real quick?
You can, because we still have more to talk about.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yes.
So the Master of Metal, the card, he's got his cape on, and he's looking all menacing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about this off mic for a little bit, but I really want them to release a Ultron mini for this encounter.
Yeah.
Well, I do and I don't. My wallet says don't,
because
I love that this is just free and anyone can download it and get it, and that's awesome, and that you can play it with a regular model, fantastic. But man, if they were to give me some like Ultron sitting on a throne with a cape, and or just something where I'm like, damn, that's the master of metal,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be unhappy.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting like a cape and magnetizing to my Ultron and maybe just letting it go with that.
I looked into getting a second Ultron just so I could, you know, chop it up and make it into something.
Yeah, I think I saw something on eBay or something really where cool people ones. Are actually selling individual models
right.
and for reasonable prices now. That one place was doing it $20 bucks a model.
I've seen them for 10 to 15.
I would do okay. 10 to 12
right.
a model.
Yeah.
You know, and
I've actually seen a couple people on the Facebook group do some amazing
conversions.
Yes.
The one where he's holding Iron Man?
Yes, and Cap is sitting on the ground there.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that one's bad.
Yes.
I don't like that one. I want that one.
So cool.
Yeah.
So
anyway, side tangent over.
No, it's okay. Any final thoughts on Ultron, Ultimate Encounter, Master? It's a ton of fun.
And it's a ton of fun.
So I did actually say I was going to come back to one thing, and that was his teleporting ability that can only be used once per turn.
Yeah.
I used it to great effect because I started at first trying to kind of manage stuff, and then I realized my victory condition is controlling all four of those things. Like,
right.
that's really,
it's really where you're
came
shooting.
Clear
uh-huh.
that I needed to focus on. So what I ended up doing, I had enough movement, just barely, to where I could get to the console, and then you guys would do something, you couldn't stop it, and then I could get to another console, and...
Really, we were like almost following you around the board,
yes.
trying to un—I forget what we call it—but basically take back those consoles.
Right, but it got to the point where y'all didn't have enough activations,
right.
and I was able to have—I had three out of four of them, and I
right.
was on my way to get the fourth one, and you had
just
enough movement.
Basically, you were about to win.
Yes, and you had just enough movement to get over there, and I was like, ah. But anyways,
it was good.
Yeah,
but yeah, so it can be used to great effect.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Teleport, matter transference, it's always good. So, anyways, that is All Will Be Metal. I personally really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I think it's a lot of fun. And
just great for win, because I think we're all kind of in the same boat. Sometimes you just have three guys.
Right.
And you're like, what do we do?
Yeah, or gals.
Or gals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, three people want to play, and it's like, well, one of them sitting there on the sideline with their models, just with their...
cheerleading,
you know, junk in their hand, and
that shit happens.
Sure. You know, and that's
great
be fun.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
it's great that they just were. And I love it that they put it out for free.
Yep, and I love that this was the first one.
Yeah.
I think this one is complicated but manageable.
Manageable.
You know, you do have to be familiar with the game. I do not think that this is like, hey, person that's never seen this game.
Right.
How would
you
like
need to have played
play
a game before, but yeah,
you need to understand the mechanics a little bit. But it's also not so high level, so.
Let me
Anyways.
Ask you another side question. Mm. So as far as the Ultimate Encounters go, now I know you want Galactus, so do I. Besides that, what is your number one, like, you want them to make?
Okay, so...
I'll tell you mine.
Well, I mean, number one Galactus. Like,
right.
Besides that, though. Like,
I just want to see someone wear a Galactus helmet.
Yeah, for real. I do. That'd be so cool. So my number one outside, I am a number two?
Yeah, number two.
Would be an Apocalypse raid.
Oh.
But with that... comes.
I was about to say you
are kinda, mutants.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Idris has to help
me. Reset the clock.
Thanks,
yeah,
Idris.
Appreciate you. So that would be my number two. Would be
okay.
an Apocalypse raid, because
interesting.
I like
That'd
the threat
yeah.
that he brings
yeah.
to the world.
Yeah,
you know. So
very cool. Mine right now is I want Worldbreaker. I want the Worldbreaker Hulk.
Of course.
I,
you and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, I know. I'm not original in that
no, that's
at
okay.
all.
No, that's
but
okay. Dude.
That's
you
what
like
I want.
What you like. That'd be fun.
Hulk
I think
great.
It'd be fun. Hulk
yeah.
is great.
Fun.
Like an evil, savage
an
Hulk.
An evil,
type thing
out of control
awesome.
Hulk. Or, and I say this mainly because I'm converting my Hulk into Maestro. I'd love them to bring Maestro out
yeah,
as
cool.
some, you know, something like that.
That'd
I think
be very
it'd be pretty
cool.
cool.
I think another one that I would enjoy in terms of a raid mode would be like a Sentry in the Void. So,
okay.
Sentry
yeah.
as a character has an alternate form called the Void that's super evil and bad
okay.
and stuff. Like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
You know,
yeah.
and it's super powerful. And
right.
everything. So, like, you could have like a dual character thing or something. I don't know.
Do you think they'll ever do something like, could they do something around like the Sinister Six? I mean, I know they're all just regular characters, but could they make an ultimate encounter with the Sinister Six?
I'm sure they could.
Figure something out.
But who? The thing about the Sinister Six is who would be the leader.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who would be the guy somebody, and then who would be the minions?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's part of the fun about the Sinister Six is while maybe Doc Ock is the head of it one time,
right,
then, you know, maybe Norman Osborn is the head of it another time.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so it kind of, I could see that being a thing, but I don't think that's anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, they need all the models.
Don't have enough
out
characters,
first, right?
So, yeah, I don't know, but I think there's some really cool, I mean, there's no shortage of,
there's
of
no
massive crises.
Crisis threats.
Within the
Universal
Marvel Universe.
Threats. There are no shortage.
No shortage. So I think we'll be all right.
Cool.
So moving on, and yes, this episode is running long. So
it happens,
but we've
more,
only got...
More work for you in the editing bay.
Yeah, yeah. So you did say that you wanted this to be my first 5-hour editing sesh, and I say nay. To that I say
again,
nay.
That's me being an asshole.
It is. Well, that's what you do.
That's what I do.
That's why we get along so well, because we're both assholes.
We're both kind of assholes named Will.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny enough.
Yeah.
So, and you know, just I got to say, so I did the last episode on my own, right? And like, I feel like I did okay.
I thought it turned out pretty good. I listened to it. I didn't have any gripes.
Well, I appreciate that. Oh. But it's always better to have a co-host because laughing at your own jokes is just weird. And like, I guess it says something I can make myself laugh, but if I'm over here just like, ha-ha, you know, I feel like it's that canned laughter in a sitcom when something's funny.
You press the button and
right, but it's like, that wasn't funny, guy.
No.
But you thought it was, so what does that say about you? I don't know. Anyways.
No, but it worked. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
All right, so Winter Soldier.
Mm.
Let's talk about this. He was recently spoiled on stream with a painting stream. They were painting him, and they decided to bless us with his card and one of his tactic cards, which we're not going to talk about right now, but his character card. And I tell you, the first thing we're going to do with Winter Soldier is we're going to talk about his miniature because it's beautiful.
It is a very cool miniature.
It's not my favorite. It's pretty simple and not super dynamic in a lot of ways, you know, but
I mean, it works for him.
It works. It captures
the essence.
Character. Right, it's
and of course maybe I'm just I like when they're all, you know, there's extra rubble on the bases and things. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish he was like standing on some rubble or something, like they just gave more to his base. But I mean, he's still really cool looking.
I really like what Schick did in the stream. So like, if you look at the gallery, the base that Vision's on, where it's got the little step.
I didn't notice that.
So in the stream, Schick put his back foot on the step as if he was stepping down.
That's cool.
Totally stealing that.
I like
because
that
was really cool.
Yeah, that is
I
a
really
good idea.
Liked that. But I think they did a really good job with the miniature. I think it lends itself to some very interesting painting options. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is very clearly like the meant to look like the early appearance of Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And Bucky Barnes.
Which I love. I honestly, if they had given him his little face mask, I would have been over the moon.
That is the one thing I'm like,
I mean,
should I just paint it on?
I think I'm going to. It's such an awesome.
Should I just paint on that face mask? Like, I kind of want to.
I kind of want to too.
I kind of want to.
I might green stuff it a little bit to kind of give it some extra definition. But yeah, I think I'm gonna add it.
I mean, I think you could just get away with just painting it black.
Yeah.
And just maybe even doing it a little thick to kind of. I don't know.
It could work.
But I kind of
want to do that. Yeah.
And we'll see what happens, and then I'll muck it up, and it'll just look horrible. But either way, I think it looks cool. I'm excited for this miniature specifically.
Me too.
So now. Let's talk about his card.
Okay.
So he is Winter Soldier James Bucky Barnes. I like how they say Bucky and not Buchanan because it's really James Buchanan Barnes.
Is it?
And his nickname is Bucky.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
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 I like it.
Yeah. Little trivia for you. Yeah. You're welcome. So what's interesting is this is a relatively new character. He came out during the Ed Brubaker run, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, one of the more interesting characters that's come out in more modern times just because of the history and all that stuff.
Like, they did a great job of tying it all back in, but making him a really awesome character.
Unstable character in a lot of ways, you know? And then he became Captain America at one point.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways, some people hate it. Whatever. You're wrong.
Now, if I say then you're wrong.
So, Winter Soldier James Bucky Barnes is his alter ego. His stats are stamina 5, movement medium, his size is 2, his threat value is 3, his physical defense is 3, his energy defense is 3, and his mystic defense is 2. What stands out to you on that stat line there?
You know, it seems perfectly in line for what I think of and envision as far as Winter Soldier being a character in this game. His mystic defense being low hurts, but it totally makes sense with his character. He's
right.
Unstable and, you know, has mind problems anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It works. I might have, the character, I think the... When I think of him, I'm like, with the metal arm and everything, his defense is fantastic, but I understand why they kept it at 3.
Yeah, I think his physical defense being 3 makes sense because,
right.
Yeah, he has the metal arm, but he doesn't have any other...
That's true.
Like, he's just a normal human.
Right.
Well,
he's got some soldier
arguably,
training.
Arguably.
Yeah.
Some, you know, you can argue that he's got some super soldier serum, stuff like that. I get that. But,
right.
Like,
he's not Captain America,
he's
though.
He's not Cap. He doesn't have a shield to
right.
block. He has an arm.
Right. So it makes sense. I'm not upset yeah. about it. 3 works.
Yeah. I like his stat line overall there.
I also like that he's a threat 3. I was
mm-hmm.
about to say. I like that.
Because for me, he might be replacing Iron Man. I don't know yet, though. So let's talk about his attacks,
that.
Will. What do we got?
Okay. The first attack is Assault Rifle. It is a physical attack. Range 5, which... I mean, that alone
10 inches
is amazing.
Of board space.
That's what she said. Attack pool of 4 dice for 0 cost. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. Always love that.
Mm-hmm.
A wild bleed effect. After this attack is resolved, the target character gains the bleed special condition, which, like we said, is after their activation, they lose 1 health,
exactly.
Which is always nice. His second attack is Red Fury. It's a physical attack as well. Range 2, so you got to be right up there in the mix,
mm-hmm.
but a dice pool of 7, 4 power. So not cheap, but not crazy expensive either. After this attack is resolved, the target character is pushed away from this character short. I like this because it doesn't have a size.
Yeah. Just,
you know, I can push the Hulk, whatever I want.
Yep.
Then immediately make an assault rifle attack targeting that character. Love it.
Yeah.
That makes the 4 cost really seem really good.
Yeah, you're only rolling 4 dice on the assault rifle.
But it's a free attack.
But it's free.
Yeah.
And it's you get to do 2 attacks for the cost
of
1. And then you could potentially follow it up with another assault rifle after that. Which
that is true.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So... from a positioning perspective, if you position appropriately, that could work out really well. So what stands out to me on these attacks is that assault rifle is range 5.
Actually, can I backtrack 1 second? Because we did actually learn also, if it says push, you have to push them the full amount. If it says push short, you have to push them short.
It's just like Black Panther.
Right, just like Black Panther. So if you went base to base, is pushing short, is that going to push them out of range 2?
I
think it does.
Don't think so. I think that range 2 is longer than the short movement tool. I'll have to look. Me and Greg had this discussion a while back. I don't have it on me right now, but I can check.
Okay.
And either way, these attacks
are great.
These attacks are great. And assault rifle only being 4 dice is a bit meh.
But with the range
realistically,
of 5 on it.
But realistically, okay.
It's okay.
It's okay, but at the same time, you're going to at least do a couple of hits most of the time,
right.
And then you add in a crit, then you add in maybe you're within range 2 of Zemo for a reroll, then you add in maybe you're playing on a Wakanda affiliation, you spend a power, you get another reroll.
Yeah, sure,
like,
yeah.
There's options for you. Like, I don't think, I've seen some people talking about how that they're just underwhelmed with the fact that it's a 4 dice, 4 strength, 4
right.
attack.
And I can understand that.
I can understand that, but when you've got a guy that can be a range 5 turret out there, just...
That's the thing. It's a range 5.
Right.
Honestly, it would be a little broken if you were rolling 6 dice on a range 5 attack. You could no one would ever touch
him. It wouldn't be a 6 dice free
right.
attack, but
right.
5 dice...
Yeah, 5.
I think 5 would be reasonable, but at the same time, I don't feel like 4... 4 is not going to be super consistent when you're going up against Captain America
right.
or somebody that has a higher physical defense... But if I can be at range 5 of a Hulk, I'm doing some damage.
Right.
I'm doing some damage.
That's true. It's also about who you're targeting, which, of course, with a Range 5, you've got more options of who you want to target. Right. And it can be really good.
Zemo,
and also, I
Zemo
think
only has 3 physical defense.
Keeping it like this also probably helps keep him in that Range 3 threat.
Right. Right. That's also another factor there to consider. And what about you? What kind of stands out on these attacks to you overall, would you say?
The biggest thing is just the range on this character. I think that is where he's going to shine. Because you can keep him on an objective and still, like one of the objectives that's on your side of the table, and still be able to dish out some damage with this character. I think that's huge because, you know, sometimes there's those objectives where you have 2 places you need to hold on your side. Basically, you just end up marooning a character on these islands off in the corner that they really don't end up doing much sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would allow you to place the Winter Soldier on one of those objectives and still, you know, shoot people halfway across the damn table.
Right, which I really like. I think
really
he's
like
definitely
that.
An objective holder.
Yes.
So now we're going to get into his superpowers. But before I do that, the short movement tool is longer than
the range two
tool.
So you'd have to. So you couldn't do 2 Red Furies back to back necessarily, unless you were already in range.
No,
sorry.
So you're right in just. Without reading more.
Okay.
So once we read some more,
okay,
you'll see how this can work.
That works.
So there you go. So let's talk about his superpowers.
Okay.
His first superpower is an active superpower called Hydra Tactics. It costs 2 power. Choose another allied character within range 2 of this character. Place this character within range 1 of that character. So if you're playing a 1-2 punch, which mm-hmm. funnily enough has the art
for
Winter
Bucky
Soldier,
and Captain.
And Captain America, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
So if you're playing that,
mm-hmm.
then you could
basically set this up without right
enough to maybe. But I mean, that costs a lot of power.
Right.
It would be 10 power. You'd have to have 10 power to Red Fury, Hydra Tactics, Red Fury.
Right. A little rough.
I don't see it happening.
Right.
But it's not awful. So then that. But I do like Hydra Tactics. I think that's a fun ability to kind of get him to stay a little bit in that more longer range threat. Like, I actually
right.
don't see myself using Red Fury that often. It'll be useful
right.
at times to when I'm on an objective, but overall.
Well, because range 2, which I agree it actually should be range 2, but range 2 is very close.
It's very close. So his next superpower is a reactive superpower, so it has to trigger, called Got Your Back. It is power cost of 2. If an allied character is dazed or KO'd by an enemy effect, this character may use the superpower after the effect is resolved. So once that person is done,
mm-hmm.
this character makes an assault rifle attack against the enemy character that caused the effect. And there's no range on it. So the range is limited by assault rifle. But let's say that you've got Black Widow up at within range of, you know, with
right.
whoever's attacking her is within range 5 of Bucky, right? If she's dazed or KO'd, he immediately gets to make an attack.
That's awesome.
That's great.
It's great.
That's great. So then his next, and if he's on a Avengers team, that attack costs 1.
Right.
That's 1 power.
1 power.
That's awesome. So his next ability is probably
the coolest
ability.
Yeah.
It's called Rogue Agent. This is a new ability. Like all this, we haven't seen this before. This is really cool. One character with Rogue Agent counts as an affiliated character during squad building.
Love it.
So if you're running an Avengers team, you can put Bucky in there, and he'll count as
an Avenger.
That is awesome.
Or Cabal, or
Wakanda.
Whoever.
He could be a Wakandan. Who knew?
He could be a Wakanda. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and we are the same person, apparently. So I think this is really awesome. And the wording on this says to me that there might be some more Rogue Agents floating around one day.
I like it.
I think that's really
cool. I think it should be, because it just allows for more diversity in your team building.
Exactly.
You know, you want to bring a character that just is with the, because you got to have half
yep.
to have an affiliation.
Half your models,
half
not
your
threat.
Models. Correct. Half your models. And you really want to bring Ultron or someone, but it's just messing. You can bring Winter Soldier, and he counts as half of your affiliation.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. I love it. I think Rogue Agent's really cool and opens up a lot
of
things.
I don't know if you've talked about this. I think this is this is why they stuck him with Vision, because they didn't. I think they want to keep slowly trickling out and adding to the Avengers affiliation, because everyone knows the Avengers and everyone has the Avengers because they bought the starter box. So they want to give you more Avengers, but they also wanted to give you somebody like Winter Soldier with this ability that you can add to any team you want.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. That. Like, I think that that's a
wise
thing.
At first, I was kind of like, well, that's a weird combo, but I think it makes sense with the way they're trying to release the game.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about it like that. That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think you're right. Is not just load up one team.
Right.
So the next superpower he has, so Rogue Agent's an innate ability. He always has it. The next one's also an innate ability called Spetsnaz Training. This character may reroll one die when either attacking or being attacked by a character that is within range one. So if he is up in someone's face, he gets to reroll a die on attack or defense. Very good.
Very good.
So Red Fury, if you get within range one of Red Fury on that seven dice attack, you're rerolling one.
That's awesome.
I love it.
The only... And maybe it was I'm sure it was for balancing purposes. I wish it was range two.
I do too. But... Here we are.
It is what it is.
Yep. It at least, it makes you think. Like, yeah. I think it adds some layers to the thinking. So that is his healthy side. His injured side, nothing changes except his stamina goes up by one. He goes from 5 to 6.
I like that a lot, actually.
Me too. Makes they get sense. Stronger as the fight goes on.
He's like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. So overall thoughts on Winter Soldier here.
I like him.
I like him too.
I think he's great, especially for only 3 threat.
Right. Does he make your 10?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah,
he really does. Just for the low threat value, it means I can fit him into a lot of different things. His Rogue Agent affiliation is even better because I can throw him into, like I said, Wakandans or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely makes my 10 right now.
Yeah, so for me, he makes my 10 because of his versatility.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he doesn't have the damage spike of, like, an Iron Man who... Well, so Iron Man's good because he can do pushes on repulsor blasts, and he can ignore line of sight and cover with homing rockets.
Right.
Right? So those are good and useful abilities. And then he gets that unibeam on the back.
Yeah.
Those are useful.
Too. Right.
Okay? But...
I just feel like I have more utility.
Utility. Right? Utility. And for me, the flexibility that Rogue Agent provides for Threat 3...
Is gigantic.
Is really, really useful.
And he's a fantastic objective holder.
Exactly.
So I can put, a very objective-based game, I love it.
That's one of the things I've actually struggled with in this game a lot is like, okay, what character do I sacrifice to go sit on some secure objective that I can't move off of? So if I'm playing Extremis 3.0 consoles, right, they're just far enough away from each other that you really kind of just have to
maroon someone
leave some
on
characters
island.
Over there.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to set an Ultron over there on that Extremis console and not be able to do anything with him the rest of the game.
Right. I played a game and somebody left a Captain Marvel on an Extremis console on the opposite side of where all the fighting was happening. I was perfectly fine with that. That's Threat 4 that's not doing
sitting there.
Jump.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Scoring one victory point, but not doing anything
else. Not doing anything. And I'm over here scoring 5 victory points. You know?
So Bucky would be perfect to sit over there because he could probably
still
attack somebody.
Exactly. He can still hit somebody without having to spend, and without having to spend too many of his, like if he's positioned appropriately, he doesn't have to spend an action to move to get into range.
He could probably get 2 assault rifles off.
He could maybe get 2 assault rifles off, which, okay, you think, 4 dice per attack, sure, but
he's also sitting on objective, it's still good.
Still good. So, yeah, I like him. I think he makes my 10 from a flexibility perspective, but I'd have to really sit down and craft that.
Me too.
So... This is where we're going to end today's show. I'm going to try to fit in the tiered conversation on a later episode.
Yeah, because
we just don't
late.
Have time.
Sorry.
We're running super long. It's okay. And listen, guys, if you want to connect with House Party Protocol, Will is active on Facebook in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see him over there. But if you want to interact with House Party Protocol, I will pass anything that you have for Will along. It's houseparty.protocolpod@gmail.com. House Party Protocol on Facebook. You can find us on Discord, HPP_Greg, HPP_Will. I'm not super active on Discord, trying to get in there. Also, I appreciate those that have gone to Dr. Squatch and used our promo code, HouseParty15. You get 15% off your order of some great soaps.
Good stuff.
I just reordered some soap. I love it. It's awesome. You know, you can, they just had a coffee cold brew cleanse come out that's very pleasant. I really like it a lot. And their soap's really awesome. House Party 15 will get you 15% off your order, and it's super, super appreciated, guys. It really helps us keep going. Mm-hmm. And also, you can go to Black Site Studio and get 15% off of individual items. House Party 15 is your promo code there as well. There's a link in the description for war colors. We don't have any discount, but if you want some war colors stuff and you want to help us out, that's nice. We appreciate that. And in the future, we're going to start having discussions about maybe doing a Patreon. We've kind of mentioned it a couple of times. Greg and I specifically, you know, we'll make an appearance every now and again. But Greg and I specifically, we don't feel like we've quite earned it yet. You know what I mean? Like maybe we could do it. Maybe it would be okay. But we don't feel like we've earned the right to have a Patreon from you suits, from you the listeners. Because we feel like that is something... It's a big deal. We feel like it's a big deal, and it should not be taken lightly.
It is. But I think y'all are getting there, for one. And two, I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when you do, personally, just because I know that'll just make the show better. And, I mean, I know the giveaways are coming out of y'all's pockets.
Yeah, and we want to keep doing it.
And you want to keep doing that. But having a Patreon where you got some money coming in could... you know, make all that easier to do and more often and things like that. So I'm personally looking forward to it.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that. And you guys can let us know if that's something that y'all would be interested in. I know if we did that, then we would have some bonus content and stuff like that that would come out. We're not really sure. Again, it's very, very early stages. But we do have one surprise, though, in that so because the dump of information we've gotten from Atomic Mass Games lately is we are going to do back-to-back-to-back episodes.
What?
So when this episode comes out on Thursday, you'll get this episode. And then the following Thursday, you'll get another episode, and then that'll be a bonus episode, if you will. And then the week after that, you'll have your regularly scheduled episodes. So... there is going to be a bonus episode in the middle week there that
That's
we normally
awesome.
Take off, because normally we're bi-weekly, but with this information dump, we want to get the content out to you guys, because we want to provide value to the suits, to the people that give us their time, because it's a lot of it.
And when there's new information, new models, new whatever, you just want to talk about them.
You just want to talk about them. Exactly.
We are also nerds at heart.
Super nerd. I love this game. I love talking about it. I could keep going forever and ever. Will... final word.
You can find me on Facebook, William Thomas, if anyone wants to reach out for any reason. But yeah, I had a blast, man. It was really fun.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you being on, dude. Yeah. I appreciate you being a fill-in on short notice.
Absolutely. Anytime that I can, you need somebody, you just let me know.
I'll do it, dude. So yeah, with that, party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.